Welcome to Water Talk with Paul the Waterman, brought to you by Water Pros. Paul the Waterman is Colorado's expert on all things related to the water we use and drink in our homes. Have you ever thought about where your water actually comes from? Is it safe to drink? Is it harmful to my health, my skin, my hair? Paul the Waterman knows water, and he has the answers. Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Water Talk. Now here's your host, Scott Watley, and owner of Water Pros, Paul the Waterman.
Old Dan and I, with throats burned dry and souls that cry for water.
And we'd like to welcome you to Water Talk. My name is Scott Watley. We are glad you are with us. Water Pros, your one-stop shop for all of your water needs. 303-862-5554.
How much do you need to lower your monthly mortgage payment?
Well, how much do you need to lower?
Kurt Rogers, look, bud, I don't like when you interrupt me.
Yeah,
here.
Don't do that again, pal.
This is Water Talk.
Yeah.
Not your money matters.
Yeah. Yeah. How rude.
Man, I had the great intro.
Yeah.
So now the expert with water, not mortgages, Paul the Waterman.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
Kick Scott.
You made
Kurt,
it.
Yeah, yeah, kick yeah. him out. So, listen, we got an exciting...
Well, how was your week?
Well, the week was good. It was the first day seemed like 2 days, and then the second day seemed like a week, and then the third day seemed like a regular day.
Then we're sitting here on a Friday.
Yeah, we're on a Friday, and the week's over already.
Sheesh.
I'm telling you. So, you know, I got a question.
All right.
So, there's a story about a guy that goes on a tiny fishing boat, and the weather started getting, you know, rough and tough, and it lost control. And
had a millionaire and a
movie
star. Movie
star, and they were abandoned, and yeah. So, what are you doing next week?
I'm going to Alaska.
Alaska?
Tomorrow morning,
you're going on
6 a.m.
You're going on a fishing trip, though, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm going on a fishing
you
trip
are,
with
yeah.
one of our sponsors.
I would take a radio. I mean, a battery-powered powered radio.
Yeah, just in case.
Just in case. The weather started getting tough. Yeah.
A flare gun or something?
Something, yeah. But see, you're going to Alaska?
Yep.
Do you have bear repellent?
No, we're on a boat.
No, but what if the boat gets in an accident and then you end up in some abandoned island?
Well, I got a pistol then.
You got a pistol? Are you taking that with you?
Oh, yeah.
You can take that with you?
Mm-hmm.
How do you check that on a plane?
You just check it in your baggage. You can't carry it on.
But you can carry it in your baggage?
Yeah. Really? You have to take a sealed case. It has to have locks on it.
And yeah.
You just walk into the airport, tell them you have a firearm to check. And they'll have a person come over and get you. They go to the firearm room. It takes about 10 minutes. They go to the firearm room, and they'll check it all, make sure it's unloaded and everything.
And then you can go.
And it goes in your bag. And when you get to your destination, you go to the luggage area and pick it up.
It's just no big, just like that. That
yep.
easy? Really?
That easy.
Okay. Well, good. Hey, because you're flying over Canada, do you have to have a passport, or can you just skip that process?
I don't know. Could be tariffs coming back. So,
right?
You know, who knows?
All right. Well, anyway, I just want to wish you luck. If this is the last Friday I see you, I just want you to know.
I'll bring you some halibut and salmon.
You promise?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want you to know that it's been really nice knowing you for 4 years. And if you get abandoned, right, if I don't see you back, when are you supposed to be back?
I'll be back I'm supposed to be back in time for Friday's show.
Right.
But in case we don't, Paul's going to be taking over the hosting chair.
But
he is.
But hold it. If I don't hear from you Friday or
if you don't hear from me by Saturday.
Then send the searching party because we know the weather got
you'll
tough.
You'll be
yeah.
Paul the haystack guy now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, back to why we're here. Right?
Yeah, I've been wondering that for 4 years.
Yeah, why are we here, right? We're trying to warn people about the quality of water. Did you not know
yes,
that?
Yes, we are.
Okay. We have something very serious to talk about, Scott. Like, every show is a serious situation, so I want to make sure, do I sound serious?
You do.
Do I?
Yeah.
I want to sound serious.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So people have to understand that what I'm saying is alarming. This is alarming, you have to understand this?
By the time they get through this 58 minutes, it will be alarming.
Thank you. Okay. Scott, we're running out of water. The Denver metro area is under an illusion that these aquifers are replenishable, that these aquifers that we tap into are self-sustaining or they're never going to go away, and that's just not the case. So we've done several shows now to educate people about what's in your water, the quality of water issues and concerns, and why. But I think this is more urgent, and it's something that, you know, we're going to continue next week's show to, you know, to talk about, is the Denver aquifers are going dry, and it's an unsustainable usage. Mm-hmm. So the information we're going to cover today will let people know that this is fossil water. This water is ancient. So, you know, the Denver Basin aquifers are a series of layered bedrock aquifers containing usable groundwater. You know, there's maps out there that show the extent of the Denver Basin aquifer. You can see that for yourself. You go to Google and type in Denver Basin aquifers, and it'll give you a really good indication of what the map looks like. This is a unique geological formation along the Front Range, and it's reaching generally from Greeley on the north of to Colorado Springs in the south, and from the foothills, up to, you know, probably Evergreen and Morrison area. The new, you know, subdivision Morrison is expanding. You notice that,
oh,
right?
Huge, yeah.
And all the way out west to Lyman. The Denver Basin is composed of bedrock aquifers and water-bearing formations that lie one on top of the other. The aquifers in the Denver Basin are called progressing from top to bottom. The Dawson, Denver, Arapaho, Laramie, Fox Hill aquifers are all together. And so the northern portion of the Dawson and Arapaho aquifers are differentiated into upper and lower aquifers. Between each aquifer, there's a confining layer that isolates the individual aquifers from each other. Because of the nature of the confining layers and because of the limited connection between these aquifers and surface water, the groundwater in the aquifer is not renewable. When the groundwater is used up, you know, that's it. That's not going to be replaced. And so this is something that I'm convinced nobody really thought about.
And, you know, this gets so technical. I mean, you have to really study into it to just understand the whole water system.
Well, what's happened is that these aquifers basically stretch from Colorado Springs all the way up to Wyoming. And every time you talk to somebody about aquifers, you know, and I didn't realize this until I started, you know, really look into it, because the question was, you see the growth all over. You know, I-25 pretty soon from Castle Rock to Monument is going to be one big subdivision. I mean, the home building. You got out east on Powhatan to County Line Road to Delbert Road, and it looks like a minimum of 600 to 1,000 new homes are going to be popping up. You go to Singing Hills Road, and then you head east, and there's a whole bunch of new subdivisions being popped up in Elbert County. So what has happened is they're accessing more and more water. But here is, you know, the concern is they're not being truthful to everybody regarding, you know, the longevity of these aquifers. When you run out, you run out. And then what's going to happen is everybody's going to have no choice but to, you know, have a water supply that's from the toilet to the tap. So back in 1974... they originally, you know, came up with what they call a 100-year plan. And they've exceeded that plan based upon just population growth and demand. And so that's, you know, we have information we'll share today. I also have information that, you know, it's on the foodandwaterwatch.org. And the headline is, many drought-stricken areas are eyeing toilet to the tap schemes to bolster water supplies, but this is a risky practice, distracts from the real solution to our water crisis. And they haven't studied or done an in-depth study. When you go from the toilet to the tap, what's the concentration contamination concerns with, you know, pharmaceutical buildup, with forever chemical buildup, with microplastic buildup? And a lot of these municipal water supplies do not have infrastructure improvements that can help mitigate these contaminations.
Because that would take several years to prepare to even do that, correct?
Right, and it takes money and dollars. That's not there. That's right. This state is spending money like a drunken sailor. One of the things that we've talked about is the state has programs where they're handing out grant money, you know, for various issues. Well, grant money is what? It's tax dollars. The state doesn't print its own money. When it gets grant money, they're going to give it away. That means they got to allocate it from a budgetary process, you would assume, or they're going to take it from one entity and give it to the other. And there is water filtration media out there that can help mitigate these contaminants, but you know, it's sensitive media. It's not foolproof. You have to pre-treat the water before you run it through these filtration medias. And something else we're going to discuss in today's show is water quality. And we were at, you know, several homes this week where I was at one home, Scott, in Elbert County off that, you know, Delbert Road and Singing Hills, where you could tell the well threw mud into the filtration system. Mud. And so what that means is that the well got so low as far as where the water source came that it was sucking up mud. So people on well water, you think that you're immune to this water conservation in you know, what everybody's on drought restriction in the city, don't water your grass. Well water should probably think about the same exact thing, because these aquifers that we talked about, the fact that the term that was used, that you and I were looking at this paperwork, you know, information I bought in before the show today, they called it fossil water. It means it doesn't replenish. Can you imagine millions of years ago, oceans where the water was all over our state? That's how we have these beautiful Rocky Mountains.
Sure.
Okay. As it, you know, receded. I mean, the Salt Lake, the Great Salt Lake is an ancient ocean that basically, you know, has receded. That body of water stayed there, high levels of sodium. Northern Colorado, you know, you get to Fort Collins, and then you go out east to LaSalle, and you go farther east. You know, there's natural high levels of sodium in the soil, and people can't use that to grow anything because the sodium levels are so high, and the salt deposits are still there from, you know, millions of years ago. Mm-hmm. So when they call this fossil water, that means that water actually has been there for millions of years, and we're finally getting to the point where it's running dry. And I say that because well water quality, these wells that we're talking about are in these aquifers that we just mentioned, and people are now, you know, getting to the bottom of it. And if they don't replenish, that means that once they're gone, they're gone. But there's another concern. Levels of contamination are increasing in these aquifers. You're having higher levels of uranium in the water. Radium.
So it's safe to say our water quality is not only going to get worse, it is getting worse.
It is getting worse, and this is why.
Yeah. Let me ask you, every person, and I want to see if you run across this when you go to a well water customer. Every person that I talk to hears a show, or I bring it up to them about what we do. Oh, I don't have to worry about it. I got a well.
Yeah, they're an illusion.
Everybody thinks that they have the pure stream, crystal clear water.
They're living an illusion, and I don't say this to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
But they're clearly on a false, and they're not alone. There's a lot of people.
No, I mean, every person I run into.
And they all think, well, I'm in the upper Dawson, lower Dawson. So check this out. So if you drill a well anywhere from Colorado Springs to Wyoming border, between the foothills and the plains east of Lyman, you're drilling into the Denver Basin. It's a bedrock aquifer that system underneath roughly 6,700 square miles of the Front Range urban corridor. The water source that hundreds of thousands of Colorado homes and dozens of water districts depend on, and it's being pumped faster than it recharges by, you know, an outstanding amount. And so the research I did, Scott, is that it would take several generations for water to get into these aquifers, and it's not happening. It's a four-layer cake. So the Denver Basin isn't one aquifer. It's four stacked on top of each other, each with its own depth, yielding water chemistry and depletion rates. So the Dawson Formation is typically 200 to 1,000 feet deep. Best water chemistry of the four, also the first to thin toward the edges of the basin. And it goes to the Black Forest, so it serves Black Forest and Falcon on the southern edge. The Dawson goes from full water bearing to nothing in less than 10 miles. If you're drilling a new well in that zone, you may be drilling straight past it to the next layer down because it's running out of water. And so the Denver Formation is between 500 to 2,000 feet. It has higher iron content, manganese, than the Dawson. Arapaho Formation. So if your well is 1,500 to 3,000 feet, the workhorse aquifer for most of the municipal water supplies in the basin, higher total dissolved solids in this water than shallow layers, and the USGS is monitoring shows that the Arapaho is declining at about 1.9 feet per year. The Laramie Fox Hill is the deepest. That goes well below 2,500 feet. It's got the highest TDS of the four, up to 2,000 milligrams, which is four times the safe drinking water limit by the EPA. And it's declining faster at 9.9 feet per year. So these cities that are tapping in and drawing water are drying at an alarming rate that's unsustainable. On top of it's taken away from everybody else. And so basically what this means, in a sense, is folks that have individual private wells in these aquifers, your water is being taken away by all these other communities that are developing out there. And what they're not telling everybody is that, you know, how fast they're you know, depleting this water. And I think they don't care because they know, all right, once that goes dry, they're dry. And then, you know, what happens to everybody else?
I mean, how is this, what you just talked about a little bit, so I'll just use the word math. How does this math work out with water depleting, you know, with all the usage we're doing, all the growth that's coming? If we have a repeat year next year like we did this year, well, we're in disaster zones, aren't we?
So here's here's the issue. The drought did not affect these aquifers because these aquifers are not refillable by groundwater.
Okay, true. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So but I went from Silverthorne to Steamboat Springs. Is that Highway 9? And the reservoir that's right in the middle before you get to Steamboat Springs is bone dry, gone, drained. So I can't help but wonder that all those homes that are around that reservoir, what's their well water table like? Are they running out of water? Mm-hmm. You know what's going to happen? If we don't get a snow, in my opinion, that's 300 to 400% above normal, we're not even going to make a dent to what's happened. And so well water is going to run dry.
Right.
So they're allowing these municipalities to drill and use water from the Arapaho. How many other, you know, private homes are tapping that far deep? I think majority of them are at the, you know, the Denver Formation. I think majority of wells out there are around 500 and no more than 2,000, because you have to imagine, when you get close to 1,000 feet deep and down to 2,000, the type of water pump that you would have to have, the well pump, you'd have to have four horses to pump up 1,000 feet with enough pressure to go right into your home. Because that, right? So what I was not a fan, and I am not a fan of cisterns, only for water treatment. You know, and when you have a cistern, you really need to pre-treat the water before it gets in the cistern, because problem water in a cistern becomes 100 times worse to try to treat and mitigate water issues with. But pretty soon, cisterns are going to have to be, you know, part of everyday life. And folks living out in well water areas, you know, there's, okay, Castle Rock, Ruffensperger exit, go east to Perry Park Road. There's tons of multi-million dollar homes that are, you know, tucked way back in there from Ruffensperger to Perry Park, who want to use 20,000 gallons of water a day for landscaping. That can't be done. 20,000 gallons a day just cannot be done. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because what's happening is that 20,000 gallons a day, you're taking from somebody else. And that, and I know that this is not being discussed, and I know it's not being limited, because, you know, we've done water filtration systems for those homes, and, you know, we talked to them about, you know, they need a filtration system for their, to mitigate the iron content, so when they water their grass, the rock fixtures and formations aren't stained by iron. And so I was mentioning, you know, that's a lot of water, and then it just hit me. I have people that off of Prairie Park Road, from Castle Rock down to Sedalia, that are, their well water quality's changed. They're running out of water. It's happening now. We have, you know, turbidity, floaty dirt is becoming an issue because they're at the bottom. You know, when you get to the bottom of your water source, you're going to drag all that, you know, all that contamination. You're going to draw that into your home.
Real quick before our break here, communities that tap the Denver Basin water, listen to this, include Black Forest Falcon, Southern Edge Dawson Thinning, it says, Monument and Palmer Lake, Castle Rock and Castle Pines, almost entirely dependent Douglas County on this. Parker, Elizabeth, Kiowa, Woodmore, Triview, Meridian Ranch, Paintbrush Hills, and Larkspur, all on this.
And it's they're drawing more water. So back in 2022, I remember, you know, I tell people, there was, it was the Colorado Sun, the Douglas County rep said, well, you know, you got to think of a bathtub and all these straws trucking from the same source. But what they're not telling you, and what no one's talking about, is that this is an immediate danger now. This program right here, I can guarantee you, this show today is the only one in the Denver metro area that is raising an alarm that we're running out of water.
Nobody's talking about it.
Nobody.
We're talking about a drought, but I mean, that's it.
Right.
Yeah. You're listening to Water Talk with Paul the Water Man. It's Water Pros, 303-862-5554. Call now for your free in-home water test. Paul and his crew will come out, test your water, see what's going on with your water. And then before we end the show today, we'll give you some solutions that are going on and remind you of our special we've got going on with Water Pros. We'll be right back.
How much do you need to lower your monthly mortgage payment? $200, $300, $400 or more? As rates decline, take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Over 24 years of saving Coloradans money. Low rates, lower payments, less costs. What makes us different is we listen. As an independent mortgage broker, we shop the top lenders to save you the most. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Want to purchase your next home? You can't qualify unless you sell your current home? Let us show you how to get the down payment out of your current home, qualify for the new one, and then sell yours for the most. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. So you want to buy a home. Let us show you loans that can save you money, low down payment, first-time home buyer specials, fixed rates in the fours with buy-downs. Call for details, 720-895-0500, or apply now at aimortgage.net. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you.
Regulated by DORA, NMLS, 217-147, Equal Credit Lender.
Looking for great deals on hunting, fishing, camping, or shooting gear? Then make your next stop the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hamden in Sheridan. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and listen, whether you're buying or selling, you'll find quality new and pre-owned outdoor gear for hunting, fishing, and camping at prices that you won't believe. From firearms and optics to fishing tackle, camping gear, and more, there's always something new to discover. Stop by the Outdoorsman's Attic and see why Colorado sportsmen keep coming back. Tell Billy Scott sent you, and you'll get the Sportsman of Colorado Radio discount on all hunting and fishing gear, excluding firearms. Colorado's largest consignment store for the outdoors. It's the Outdoorsman's Attic, where the outdoors begins and the adventure continues.
Turn a normal day into an adventure on an e-bike.
Hi, I'm Randy Caranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Just try it. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
AM 560, KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to Water Talk. Again, my name is Scott Watley, along with Paul the Waterman. It is Water Pros. Once again, free in-home water test. Give them a call, 303-862-5554. You know, Paul, when you just look at the growth, and the next show I'm here, if I make it back from Alaska.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to pull some growth numbers.
Do they have travels insurance?
Yeah. Well, you want to take a policy out on me?
Yeah, Charlie and I should take a policy out on you.
You probably should.
I want you to know that I'm going to cherish this show right now in case this is the last one.
Okay.
Okay?
All right,
thanks, buddy. All right, go ahead.
Well, my next show with you. We'll look at some growth, see if we can find some up-to-date figures. But here's one on some information you brought in. El Paso County's population nearly doubled between 1990 and 2020, from 390,890 to 731,800. And the growth continues along the Falcon Corridor east of Colorado Springs.
And I think it's safe to say it's over a million now, because that's another 6 years.
Yep. And then the line comes next. The aquifer is not growing with it.
So the quality varies dramatically depending on which layer that they're drawing from. So, you know, let's talk about this, because a lot of people, aquifers, one of the things I said, you know, to folks, and their aquifers, you know, travel, you know, north and south, I always said I didn't think an aquifer, you know, water flows downhill. And one of the things that, you know, people think, and it's just, it's not true, is they thought, well, the snow melt coming from the Rocky Mountains would, you know, replenish these aquifers, but it's just not the case. You know, and when you go into the Dawson, the water's usually the easiest. It's the lower TDS, and it's often drinkable with minimal treatment. Hardness is moderate. But then you're in Denver on Arapahoe, which that's pretty much everybody, right? Arapahoe is a workhorse. Water tends to carry elevated iron and magnesium. It's not serious health concern, but, you know, it's going to stain your clothes. You have taste issues.
Mm-hmm.
And hardness, you know, is, I'd say that's more than moderate, because we've had some people, you know, with extreme hard water in those locations. But the Laramie, you know, Fox Hill, water can push over 2,000 TDS, making it, you know, undrinkable. You have elevated fluoride in areas, you know, radium. But fluoride, that's another thing that's going to increase, because fluoride is natural. Uranium is natural, and they're all from, you know, when you're looking at what they call fossil water, does that not blow your mind that this water was basically been used since the age of the dinosaurs?
Now, when we say TDS, because we've done a show 4 years, we've broken it down before, but for those maybe catching us the first time, total dissolved solid, right?
TDS is total dissolved.
What does that mean? And as easy as you can, layman terms for us.
It's invisible solids in the water that you can't see but are there. It's, you know, you don't see it, but they're solids, and you need a TDS meter to measure the conductivity, and so it gives you a reading of what the total dissolved solids are. High TDS can create tummy issues, stomach aches. You know, cause diarrhea, and it's also a concern, because the higher the TDS, that means that you could have radium, you know, radon in the water. Radon is a gas,
mm-hmm.
but you could also have, you know, fluoride, high levels of fluoride. I know for a fact that fluoride is becoming a problem out east.
So, well, here, you mentioned radon. It says it's a concern across the basin because sediments weathered from Pike's Peak granite carry uranium-bearing minerals. If your well is in the southern part of the basin, El Paso, Southern Douglas, test for radon in water, not just in air. And uranium, like you say.
This is an issue that we all have to... So, folks, what this means is that you need to get an in-depth water test. You should know exactly what's in your water. You don't want to have a false sense of security. Now, all these issues we can fix. We can treat.
Right.
You know, we have a situation where, you know, you use anion resin, which is a sensitive filter media, so it has to be supported by a water softener, but anion resin can remove uranium, can remove fluoride, can remove nitrates. So anion resin is a really good polishing filter media for folks on well water.
Okay.
So, you know, it can be done, but it all has to start with the water softener. But really what this means is that in the next 25 years, it may not happen to people in our age group. Because, you know, are we going to be alive in 25 years? You know, I'm going to be pushing 83. Well, I don't know. Right? But, you know, it's going to be that, you know, our kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my granddaughter, you know, she's, you know, starting sixth grade this year. It's going to be in her age group 25 years from now. You know, she's going to be 37 years old. And is this state going to be completely out of water? But it may go faster than that based upon the current development and the current water usage. And if they don't crack down and start, let me ask you a question. Think about this. If I'm going to buy a home for $500,000, am I going to want to buy that home if they tell me I have water restrictions?
Of course not.
No. If I'm planning a multi-million-dollar 3-acre estate where I have landscapers and I have trees, am I going to spend the multi-million-dollars if they tell me I can't have the water I want to water my grass and trees?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to.
And you wonder when they go to build these big areas, like you're saying, 600, 1,000 homes and different areas, how much study is done into the water, or are people just trying to smooth over that and, you know,
so here, so
get the money and go?
So I wonder, that's a great question. So you know what I think? I think there's master sneaky answers to your question. I think the master sneaky is, are they already designing infrastructure to connect what is now a community well to other reusable water sources? I'll never forget, Scott, it's going on 2 years. I'll never forget watching Nine News talking. They were interviewing a guy in the city of Denver, and the look in his face, he had a big smile on his face, and he said, because in his mind, the water crisis was over because it's reusable water. That's what they're thinking. They don't care. It's going to be reusable water. It's salt.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, we know that they have deep water injection, so they take wastewater from other municipalities and they're injecting it back into the ground. But it's not even going to make a dent to try to refill these aquifers, but what they're doing is they're adding more contamination to these aquifers. So what we're talking about, folks, is that we're having an unsustainable use of water. All those that are on your four different aquifers thinking that, you know, you have an unlimited supply of clean water, you don't.
And again, if you're buying something out there, here's something that says, if you're buying property on a Denver Basin well, you know, water rights on these wells. And Paul, I'm not sure if you know what this term means, but water rights on these wells are not senior surface water rights. They're non-tributary or not tributary groundwater rights tied to overlying land ownership.
So in other words, you can't use that for any kind of agriculture irrigation.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, the water court. Denver has a water court. Water court's where you go to, you know, argue water rights, water usage. And this is something that, you know, farmlands. Think about the farming communities out there that are tapping, because there's farms that are tapping into the same aquifer to use it for, you know, irrigation. They also tap into, you know, groundwater sources.
Mm-hmm. And then here it says well permits are specific to an aquifer layer. You can't switch layers without a new permit, and which means normally a new well.
And that's and it requires that, you
what's
know,
a new what's a well cost?
You know what a well costs right now?
No, it's
50
why I'm
grand.
Asking. Really?
50. You know, when I first started, you know, a well, I've been here almost 35 years, Scott. I remember a well could cost around $15,000, went from $15,000 to $25,000, $50,000. But again, the deeper you go, the bigger the pump you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that pump, you're not going to, I can't imagine the size of pump you would have to have, the size of the well casing to go down 2,000 feet.
Yeah, me either. Now, of course, contaminants we talk about a lot. And, Paul, these seem to be ever-growing as well. So when you combine all this, think about all the different chemicals that would have to go in these areas where they're going to do from the toilet to the tap. and then all the other, just all the different things that are in our water besides pure water.
So let's ask our listening audience, here's last his question. Okay, guys, so what happens when you're in a municipal water supply and you chlorinate? What is the byproduct of chlorination? Yep, that's right. Thank you, Jim, out there answered. Jimmy, you're correct. It's called carcinogens, trihalomethanes, and halocytic acids, and they are poisons. So disinfection byproducts. All these, when you go to, so think about this, the big picture. So you're going to have disinfection byproducts at a higher level because it's reusable water, right? Water comes in, water goes out, so those contaminants are there. And they're going to be there because you have to have more disinfection byproducts, because what are you trying to kill now? You're trying to kill E. coli bacteria from the human waste.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're trying to kill Giardia from the human waste. Then what else on top of that? Think about this. You're going to have higher levels of PFAS, because PFAS aren't going to be removed. It's the same, PFAS levels are going to increase because PFAS come from humans. Humans drink the water, they, expel PFAS. Pharmaceutical contamination. Pharmaceutical contamination is going to build up, especially because we know that pharmaceuticals are made from PFAS. And then let's talk about the gentleman that many years ago that we interviewed, he called in and we interviewed him, and he said he designs aquifers, and every major over-the-counter medication tested positive in those aquifers. Fort Collins has a multi-billion dollar aquifer they can't use because of high levels of uranium. So they're letting it sit, hoping that the uranium settles to the bottom. That's the point. Your uranium settles to the bottom so they can use it. But right now, these aquifers, the four main aquifers, are already getting to the bottom. So that's where, you have heavy concentrations of uranium.
Wow.
And radium.
And some of these reports, they're not up to date, so to speak. But here in 2020, one of the things Paul brought in, the town of Monument Water District informed its residents that their water had a high percentage of radium. And that was not the first time Monument faced these elevated levels of radium. In 2016, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment informed the town of Monument Water Department it had exceeded the maximum contaminant level of radium. So if that was 10 years ago, I can't imagine what's going on now, Paul.
I think we're in a situation where all this is going to get worse, really. Uranium, radium, radon. Radon's a gas, but so if you have radon in your home and you have radon gas mitigator, then it's safe to say if you're in well water, then you can have radon in well water.
Let's see here. Just trying to scan this real quick. In 2020, the Woodmore Water and Sanitation District published a report that found in 2019 all its wells had elevated levels of radium. So once again, we would hope that all these communities would give these water quality reports, but we found out Highlands Ranch, I swung by and got one a month or two ago.
They didn't have anything. There's not
much about nothing.
Yeah, so, well, that's okay. This is where it all kind of ties in. If the EPA allows municipalities to lie to you about the quality of your water, why do they allow them to lie to you? Because they have a laundry list of unregulated contaminants that they tell us that is there, but you don't have to report it. Folks, if you go to an AI search engine, ChatGPT or Grok or whatever AI you use, go to Google, you type in EPA's unregulated contaminant list for 2026, and it'll give it to you. Then you type in the EPA's contaminant candidate list for 2026. That was published in April. They'll give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find viruses and bacteria. You'll find pharmaceuticals. Viruses and bacteria are in water. Fact, stomach viruses, in drinking water. That's how you get a stomach flu, is because it came in from the glass of water, 100%, convinced of it. I've mentioned this before. COVID spread through the drinking water. And and it's worth repeating. Think about this. When we had COVID, when everything was shut down, we had a social distance 5 feet, sometimes 10 feet. Remember when you had to get in line to go to the grocery store?
And they had the little footprint outlines right. Where you had to
stand. They had to step and stand and stop. It's about 10 feet away. Yet people still got COVID. So then they thought COVID was this invisible monster that came through our walls and windows and doors. Mm-hmm. People were sealing up all the, you know, doors and putting tape and sealing windows. And we still got sick and still got COVID. Why? Because it was in that glass of water.
303-862-5554 is the number. So look, a lot of doom and gloom here. What's wrong with your water? How can we fix it? We're going to cover that next, right after this.
With the weather heating up and summer plans in place, make sure your pets are ready for the season too with the caring team at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and whether it's for a checkup, vaccinations, parasite prevention, allergy care, dental services, or surgical needs, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is ready to help your pet stay healthy and active all summer long. Planning a vacation? Their professional boarding services make it easy, and you'll know your pets are being cared for by people you can trust. And if your dog or cat needs a little freshening up, their professional groomers will help your pet look and feel its very best. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, no matter what your pet needs, they've got you covered. Privately owned for 25 years, they are certified by the American Animal Hospital Association with its highest rankings and hold an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call today, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050 to schedule your pet's next visit. Check out their website at LoneTreeVet.com. Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. It's the place where my pets go.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you've been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people view the evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one who's hurt, you have a good idea of what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals whom you don't know and were witnesses to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886.
Need new glasses fast? With Stack Optical's on-site lab, you'll get your prescription glasses in just 3 to 4 days. No long wait times. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I've trusted my eye care to Allen Stack and Stack Optical for the last 15 years. Eye exams are only $69, and that should be a part of your physical checkups each year. For over 50 years, Denver has trusted this family-owned boutique eye care center for premium vision care, custom eyewear, and expert repairs. See the Stack Optical difference today. Call 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. And tell them Scott sent you. Stack Optical. Since 1968, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
This is AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to the show. We appreciate you being with us. If you ever have a question for Paul, give us a call, 303-477-5600. If you can stump Paul with a water question, we'll get you like a $100 gift certificate off of a system.
You know what? I'll take him out to dinner to Sulcrest Steakhouse. You can stump me with a water question. You call right now, 303-477-5600. Operators are standing by.
Okay. All right, I said before we went to the break, let's tell them what we can do to help. Let's take well water, folks. We've spent some time with that today.
So well water, folks, here's the base bottom line truth. Your water is not indestructible. You're not invincible to water problems, and in some cases, you're more susceptible to problem water. And you have two things to think about. You have a forever chemical issue that's absolutely there that's not being monitored or reported, so you really don't know what your forever chemical levels are. You have absolutely microplastics in your water because microplastics have tested all over the world. They're in every single major body of water, and your aquifer could have microplastics. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have issues with radium, radon, and fluoride and uranium. So what we can do is you do a dual tank water softener. If you're in the part of the aquifer that has high hardness and high iron content, so we have to have a dual tank water softener with that. We put in a uranium system, which is an anion resin. And so that'll take care of uranium, take care of fluoride, take care of nitrates. It's a really good polishing filter media, but you support that with a dual tank water softener. And then you also want your point of use for reverse osmosis, but I really recommend that you guys also do a whole house ultraviolet light to, you know, have your own sanitation. You want to be able to zap viruses and bacteria.
Right.
So what you don't know and what we don't know is this. How much water do we really have that's sustainable in all full aquifers based upon the growth? Because they go from Colorado Springs to the Wyoming border, out east to Lyman, to the edge of the foothills. It's safe to say that these aquifers, okay, edge of the foothills, mean I think that, you know, Morrison area is a cutoff. But when you get up to Conifer and Evergreen, you know, they're in their own little body of water, you know, and I did a show a while back, Scott, we were talking about how those water bases are filled. Snowmelt runs through little rock crevices and fills up those water caverns that folks are drawing from in the, you know, mountain areas, mm-hmm. Okay, foothill areas, even at high elevations. So here, when we're drawing from an aquifer, what we found out today is it's not an unlimited resource of water. And in 1974, they had a game plan that said this would last us 100 years, and I think they've sped up that process because of the tremendous amount of growth. And then we talked about the communities are really, you're not talking about it. They're not throwing an alarm about it because there's other water sources that they use from, but because of the drought, they've all gone dry. So these aquifers are really going to get taxed. So people in well water think about water conservation to just save your aquifer, but then everybody has to play by the same rules. So maybe, you know, what they should do is have, you know, programs like we're doing today to warn people. You know, next week, you know, Mark's going to, you know, come in with me and we're going to, you know, cover this even more. And from Mark's perspective, because he's a water treatment operator, wastewater mm-hmm. plant operator. And what we get rid of on the wastewater side, and then if we're at a reusable, you know, just as fast as, you know, water comes out, water goes in, then if they don't improve the infrastructure where they could do some sort of filtration mitigation, because you got to remember the water is used, you know, it's rapid. It's in and out, and it's fast, and could use several million gallons of water a day.
Right.
Okay. Now, whole house filtration, when you're on well water, you know, and a lot of these Arapahoe, aquifers, customers in Arapahoe, we definitely do a dual tank water softener for the hardness and iron content. We definitely should put in an anion resin system as a polisher to handle, you know, any uranium or radionuclides in the water. Whole house ultraviolet light. And then, you know, most cases, you know, reverse osmosis, but I would go with the tankless RO because the tankless RO has a built-in pump. It can handle high TDS because these TDS levels are extremely high. Mm-hmm. So these are things that, long story short, you know, I have a lot of customers up north in the Greeley area in LaSalle off of Highway 49 where their TDS levels are well over 1,000.
Wow. And you went out to somebody the other day, what was it, 60 grains?
60 grains of hardness. 66. So I want to, before I forget, I want to, this is a, we came to a situation in Steamboat Springs where they designed a water filtration system for a large house, 7 bathrooms,
oh,
10 bedrooms. And so, right, and what was happening, there was only 2 people living there. So in that case, the system was too big. And they designed the system for the full capacity of the house, but because it was too big, the system, it was a single tank unit. So a single tank system on well water, you have to, you know, kick it into extra regeneration cycles to help make up for the fact that, hey, I'm using dirty water in the backwash. Well, it was doing that, but the water, you know, it wasn't using the water that the system was designed for. So what was happening in that case, when you backwash a water softener and it's clean, it doesn't have any, you know, hardness to it, then the sodium that's used as a detergent doesn't go through that ion exchange process and it passes on through. So then in that case, they were getting sodium buildup in the leach field. So we're going to go out and put in a dual tank softener. We can back the sodium usage down because dual tank takes clean water from one tank to back flush the other, right? And, you know, we'll cut their sodium usage down by 80%, but they also have a uranium system because they got silica. Silica is something else that is in well water issue, especially down south from Peyton and Falcon. Silica is a huge issue. Silica, anion-based system would remove. So, you know, we definitely, you know, figured out what was going on. We'll correct that issue. But anion resin can handle forever chemicals, can handle silica, can handle uranium, can handle radium. You know, a water softener can handle radium.
Right.
So, you know, there's solutions to this. But when you're in well water, you have to think, you know, right now it says we may have 50 years left, but what if they're wrong? And that's information based on it, you know, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't account for all this growth, and this growth is expediting.
Yeah, it's huge. So let me ask you, first of all, for those that have not caught this before on a previous show, Paul has done something that you will not see, and I think I'm safe in saying this, any water filtration company do, and that is transparency in pricing. You know, we give specials from time to time, different pieces of equipment. Sometimes that equipment may be exactly what you need. Sometimes you may get out, figure out you need a little more. So we always want to be fair and honest with you. Some of these conditions, it could be something than what we've offered on a special. Right.
Right. No, absolutely. A lot of the prices that, you know, the specials that we give are for folks on municipal water supply. You know, so we have a special going where we're doing a 3/4 cubic foot water softener. You know, you can do a tankless reverse osmosis, $3,600. But when you're in well water, you know, right now, you know, our dual tank softener, I think, is little, you know, normally should be over $4,800, almost $4,900. We have a dual tank softener on sale for $4,400. If you go to our website, waterpros.net, all our prices are on our webpage, and we do that for transparency. And, you know, the other thing, too, one or another, it's like, I don't care if the competition looks at it because they're not going to match it.
Mm-hmm. And all your equipment's made right here in
right
the
in
USA.
U.S. And also, you guys need to make sure that whoever you're talking to, you know, is licensed, you know, with the Department of Regulatory Authority, DORA.
Mm-hmm.
They either have to be a water conditioning principal or, like we are, you know, a plumbing contractor.
Right.
So, you know, that's state law. You know, something else, you know, we're doing the water monitoring. And the water monitoring is we're working with, you know, public water systems and doing water testing and monitoring for, you know, water quality, especially with this new mobile home park law. That's a whole nother can of worms. That's another issue that I want to, you know, talk about, you know, down the road again, because it's just it's unattainable what they're requiring. But the bigger issue is these municipalities and the overuse of our four aquifers. And then I remember talking to folks, and their mindset is that, you know, they're good. They think it's a forever solution, but nobody realized that these aquifers are fossil water. So think about this. And, you know, I just thought about when I was talking about it. If it's fossil water, do they have the PFAS contamination if it's fossil water? If it's fossil water, right, do they have the microplastic contamination? If it's fossil water, meaning that it can't be spoiled, meaning right. Mother Nature rain doesn't. But here's the curveball. If you have municipalities that are, we learned this from Mark Whitlatch, deep water injection where the municipality, I know Rudd or Ward does it with their water plant out in Quincy, if they take their wastewater and they're injecting it into an aquifer, game over, right? You've right. contaminated that water supply. And what did we learn about the PFAS contamination? You don't need a large number of contaminants to have spoiled water, because PFAS, you have one part per billion.
Mm-hmm.
And now they went down to one part per billion to four part per trillion. Now they're saying zero. So there is that. But, you know, you're definitely going to have, you know, uranium issues.
Right. What do you think, if I had to say,
What are we going to be talking about in 5 years now about water?
You know what I think we're going to talk about after doing this research? Running out of water. Reusable water. From the toilet to the tap.
Will be common.
It's going to be common everywhere. That's going to be an issue. Start doing your research, folks. Go to Google. Type in, you know, from the toilet to the tap, what should my concern be?
Folks, you can take control of your water today. Simply call 303-862-5554. Call, get scheduled, your free water test. Again, well water, folks, don't be fooled. Don't be thinking you don't maybe have a problem out there. Paul, what would be you always say a test. For well water users, you say remove the...
We do the hardness and the iron.
The tank, and look in the
back
of the tank.
Oh, the toilet.
Yeah.
Remove the holding tank of the toilet, of your toilet, and you'll see exactly, you know, what's going on. I was at a house yesterday, the iron bacteria.
Really?
The iron bacteria, absolutely. You'll see it.
Hmm.
Here's what I think. I think the water quality issues, if you're in well water, they're in deeper trouble. Just imagine how many people live out in the country right now, and if their well goes dry, and then they got to dig deeper. They got to go to that 2,000 to 5,000 feet level. Can you imagine what the cost is going to be?
Yes.
And then what's the cost going to be? There was a guy in LaSalle who has that 66 grain water. We're putting a dual tank system in his home, and he could spend $40,000 trying to connect to a municipal water line. $40,000. That's just like digging a well. $40,000. But what happened? What's going to happen when well water runs dry, mm-hmm. and then they got to go deeper?
That's the question.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because this is a serious issue. And to our credit, we're the only program of its kind. You're the only host that hosts a water talk show. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
And we're the only show in the metro area that's talking about this right now.
Yep.
We are.
And Paul, we'll be here. And Mark Whitlatch.
Yeah, right? We're going to be here tomorrow.
It's going to be a great show next Friday.
Not tomorrow, next Friday, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, be safe, okay?
All right. Have a good weekend. I'll bring you some fish.
Don't forget to take your radio
okay.
with batteries.
All right. Water Pros, 303-862-5554. When you call, tell them Scott sent you. Have a great weekend.
God bless.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.